Good evening, one and all. Well, as Gary Glitter once said, did you miss me when I was away? Because you didn't know, did you? But I went back home for a week. I went back home to see my family, my nieces, well, my goddaughter's wedding, and stuff like that. And it isn't quite what I was meant to be. It's meant to be a holiday and that as well. But my wife not being well to travel, I just went over for a week to see anybody. It's good to see everybody, when I'm, especially my mother's what 95 now, and she's sharp as a tack steel, telling me off all the time, as you can imagine. But one of the things we were talking about, while we were at the reception and watching, chatting as you do at these sort of things, was we're talking about quiz shows. Now, the oldest, the first quiz show I can remember must have been on the radio, and it must have been mid to late 50s, and it was a program on the, what was the light service, I think, not the home service as it then was, on BBC, called Workers' Playtime, where they used to do a show from factories and get the sort of people sitting in their factory canteen, get some guest music, guests and stuff like that. But they also used to have a little quiz, get people out of the audience and do the quiz. Now, that was the first radio, the first TV quiz shows I can remember. Were Take Your Pick with Michael Miles, I think it was, and Double Your Money with Huey Green. Now, the thing about Double Your Money is they had a girl on there as a guest called Monica Rose. I think she came from Birmingham. She had a very broad Birmingham accent, and my God, it was almost South African. So, and she made such a hit of being on the show as a guest, she then took over as host on that show. Well, talking about hosts and shows and quizzes and stuff like that, my guest can tell us a bit about that. She is an actress, an author, a model, but a model of something you might not recognise her from. I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Pamela Hill. Hi, Pamela, how are you doing?
Hi, Barry. I'm doing great. How are you today?
I am fine. I say I'm fine. I had to have a basically I had my heart restarted yesterday. I got AFib and I put it off until I came back from England. And you go in and they just knock you out, stop your heart, restart it again. And of course, it didn't restart the first time. It didn't fix it, so I had to have it twice. And you get these, like the ER, with the electric shocks. But these are pads they put on you and. They had because I had to do it twice. I got a wonderful square burn mark on my chest.
I'm sorry. Well, you sound wonderful, and I hope you're healed
Yeah,
beautifully.
I feel better. I know because I was lying there listening to it that my heart is now beats in rhythm, and it's more like a straight rhythm and not like a cha-cha-cha as it was before.
No, sorry.
Let's talk about you because you've been in sort of acting's been part of your life since a very early age.
Yes, it has. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was acting and modeling, and the game shows, the world after I moved to Hollywood, California, came into my life later. Yes, so I did start off with the acting world, the stage, from commercials, modeling, prints, and all that good stuff. Then yes, I did.
Now, when you say modeling, that you are a model that people wouldn't perhaps recognize you in a lot of your work because you are not just a model, you are a hand model. So
Yes,
when you
I
say
am.
that wonderful nail varnish or the soft hands, they could be your hands.
Absolutely right. Some pictures with my face and body and all that great stuff. But yes, I have a specialty as well in my modeling career. I'm also a professional hand model, and you're right, absolutely right. They would not recognize me unless they knew my hands up close. That those were my hands. And projects and films and commercial ads as well. Yes.
I've always wanted to be able to sort of go to somebody and you hear about this happening that, oh yeah, I my backside doubled for such and such a person, because they wouldn't show this. I'd love to be able to do that, say that. I mean, the hand sounds okay, but you just want to do a bit extra. You sort of you as you said, you're from Ohio. What led you to go to, well, the glitter, obviously, to Hollywood and that.
Well, acting was my love back home, and I knew someday to continue with my career in a broader scale, I would either want to move to California or New York, so an opportunity to come to Los Angeles, and I took it. And again, it was very dramatic, but I'm very close with my family. I said goodbye and packed the suitcases and came here and had a friend to stay with, which gave me a foot in the door. And I just made my way with what I needed. So a few bucks in the bank, no car, traveled, walked, took a bus and made my way because I knew this is what I always wanted to do. And it sounds cheesy, but it's true. When you have a dream, and I have very supportive parents and family and friends, you just keep going forward. And that's what I wanted. So I knew that Sarah couldn't stop me. So, yes.
I mean, that's it. You had the strength and the support to do this. And you know, I'm sure to start with, it was sort of little bits here and little bits there. And then, you know, you might have got a bigger bit, a bigger star and stuff like that. But it's not something you stopped, is it? Because now I think it's with your husband, you've got this company, you actually help others and put on stuff and write stuff.
Absolutely, Barry. Thank you so much. I appreciate all your research and all those things you said just now. Yes, my husband, William Joseph Hill, is an actor, writer, and filmmaker as well. And a handful of years ago, we started a production company called Four Scorpio Productions. And it was always great that you're able to make your own projects. And one of the things that we created was a kitschy 60s, 70s web series called That Darn Girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Kind of falls upon like a I Dream of Jeannie or Bewitched. So we thought if we could do it together, because Bill knew how to do filmmaking. So long story short, I'm Valerie, he's Vic. So that was part of our shorts on our production company. And we have some other things in the works. But like you said, along with us, we can give other people work too.
Right. And I think that's great. If you're able to sort of give back and you know, share your experience and stuff like that, which in fact you do now because you've now brought a book out.
I did. My dad, the germ for this starts, my dad back in Cincinnati would say, and he's amazing, may he rest in peace, he would say, Pamela, know enough to get on a game show someday. It was just one of these little asides that I heard, but I really didn't take it in. I moved to LA, catching up now, acting and that in my career, and the game show presented itself to me. And funny enough, as the book I wrote called The Next Contestant Is, I got on my first game show and I started to have a knack for it. And then I realized, and it's not that it escaped me, that my dad said to me, right, I'm going to get on a game show someday. And as I say in my book, and it was an easy way to start, I did, and I did, and I did. Right. So there was something to be safe for a mantra, yes.
Now, when you say the next contestant, did you get on the game shows as a contestant and manage to get onto several ones, or did you get on as a host, or both?
No, I have posted, but not in that capacity. I got on as a game show contestant. Oh. I've been on over 15 game shows,
oh,
but
my
with
goodness.
My husband as well, over 25.
Wow.
I think I may actually hold a record. It sounds funny.
In
the United States. Yeah, it just kind of kept happening. And I guess whatever things I literally brought to the table, kind of it worked for me. And so I was able to get on as my own contestant. But then with William, a.k.a. Bill, we were able to get in as a couple as well. So, and then that's what, for years, I think about 12 years ago, Barry, you know, that's the journey, I thought of this title came to me, The Next Contestant Is, and I thought, ellipses, you know, and I thought, I'm going to talk about my game show experiences,
yeah,
but let me see what the book will become, because you start with one thing, and it combines part of your life and your world,
right,
and you see what happens from there. So,
and I guess that's what you did. I mean, you started off going on, and then you said, well, while this was going on, I was doing this stuff and this stuff and this stuff, and then the next one came. Is that how you sort of brought it in together?
Yeah, I first jotted down my memories from all the shows, so at least I had the behind the scenes experiences, what it felt like to be a contestant, what I needed to do to get there, what things in my life I had to have at least have garnered to bring myself to be a contestant or be picked. But then as I wrote, I realized it was kind of like my story of like what I do in my life too, along with the game show world, that makes it be better or makes me be able to do my best. And part of that was my game show world, but then these are just things that hopefully that I bring to different parts of my life.
Okay.
So it was interesting to see once you sit down to write, all of a sudden it kind of has a life of its own.
Brings back
your story.
And stuff, yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Interesting. There's a famous game show we had on. It wasn't BBC. It was on ITV. It was like a cross between darts and a quiz show. It was called Bullseye, and you had two people. One answered the questions, and one threw the darts. So you had to get the right section and that, and then the other one had to answer the darts, and then at the end they could sort of give all they'd won up and try for the big prize. And it became absolutely a funny thing that these people came on, and the people who lived in like central city sort of won a speedboat. Or they want a fitted kitchen. Now, how do you share a fitted kitchen between two of you and stuff like
Right.
that? And it's now become almost a cult thing, Oh, yeah,
Right.
let's see what you could have won.
Right.
I mean, it must have been. I mean, it's sort of obviously different quizzes, different things, and prizes and
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
like that. But there must be one or two that really stand out in your memory.
Oh, yes. Thank you for asking. It's a great question. Yes, the two that come to me right away, one would be on Shop to Drop. I actually won a I won a trip to the Bahamas, which was great. I mean, if you're gonna you know what? I just actually, now thinking about it, I think Celebrity Says that's where I won my big money. That one, I won $5,000.
All right. Good. Good. Good.
I
Good.
was very, very excited. And I think the biggest one of all would have been with my husband. I was actually his plus one contestant, but I was, I guess, the last but not least, where with his work as the contestant and my help as his plus one, the prize was $50,000, and we were just like, oh my God, it was a surreal moment. So I there was lots of things that just came to me when you asked me that, and I think that would have been at the top, but they were all really exciting moments on these different shows that I was on.
What about on the negative side? What would you never want to be back on again?
I don't know. I've been very fortunate. Most of the shows I've been on, I've had good experiences. But the things that I've learned not to do, which is some of the things that I really didn't do at the beginning, which I kind of explain in the book, is to really pay attention to listen. You really have to do your homework. You have to learn the show. You have to make sure upon auditioning that you're really present with everything. Also, it sounds simple. I mean, there's not as many in-person auditions anymore, but they're starting to come back. You don't want to be chewing gum. These are things you would know, and it's just things that have been reminded to me when I was watching other people do it, and I saw the casting, because casting watches everything. And it actually, you're saying negative, it actually me looking in to go like, I'm not going to do that. You're watching other people. And as far as any other negative stuff, at least in my world, I think it was just things that were just I couldn't control, like nerves. Relax. If I took a test, like I took a test on Wheel of Fortune at the very beginning, my first show I did, and it's dealing with that, because I said in the book, when you're filling out the test, Wheel of Fortune is like a hangman test, and the thing is if you think too hard, you go blank. And so what I had to do, and I do some meditation anyways, because you don't have that much time to take these tests, I kind of let my mind kind of be zen for a second, and then I was able to fill in the blanks. Because if you think too hard, you go blank. And the only blanks you want to fill in is on the test. So I don't know if you would call that negative, but I would say those are things that maybe stood in my way a little bit that I had to overcome so I could keep doing better and get to the finish line.
It's interesting for me to see the equivalent quizzes on American TV compared to perhaps what they were or are were on British TV. It's like there's only one program that was American made that has gone over to be done as a British version, and that's Law and Order. That's the only one. I mean, so many have come the other way from, Steptoe and Son to, change their names and that, obviously. But there's so many, Man About the House. There's so many have come the other way, but there's only one gone the other way. But it's the one thing that I always say to my wife is Jeopardy, right? Jeopardy, which is huge in
Oh,
America, lasted
yeah. Right.
one season in Britain because people thought, what sort of quiz is this? Will they give you the answers? Literally, it lasted one season and was taken off the air. So it just shows you. Just shows you.
Yeah, so I've just no, I appreciate this is fascinating to me too. So on Jeopardy in Britain, you said they give you the answers?
No, in Jeopardy over here, they say
Yeah.
you have to give
Oh, yeah, they give you the answer and you have to ask the question. Yes, they
Oh
do.
yeah,
Yes, yes, yes.
people in England thought, what a stupid quiz this is. They're giving you the answers, and literally one season it was taken off.
Oh, okay. Well, oh darn.
Well, anyway, I mean, and much of though, the next contestant is your book, is about your time and the quiz shows and stuff like that. I'm sure a lot of people are actually surprised in some ways about the other stuff that you've managed to bring into it, and the other stuff you've done, and the number of shows you've done, and the number of theatres, and let alone all your adverts and stuff like that. Have you had people sort of contact you saying, I didn't realise you were in that?
Yeah, that's kind of cool too. Yes, across the board there, Barry. So either if it was an acting gig, commercial, or on a game show, or somebody will see a repeat of something, me and or my husband will get, a text, a Facebook message, a call, or they'll say, you look really familiar. I mean, there's times, of course, you look really familiar. We don't know from where, and it is pro and it could possibly be because I've been on so many and they're rerunning all the time.
Right.
Probably one of the game show things, and I'm pretty animated anyways in life and energetic, so I think it was probably like, she seems really familiar, and then they might listen back to who it is, or if they give me a little bit more info, I might be able to figure it out. But yes, I have gotten that from time to time where people will spot me, or they already know me and didn't realize, oh, that was you.
Was
Yeah,
you.
it's
Well, especially nowadays where you've got, like the TV stations that just bring gold, I think it is in England, but these TV stations that just show these old shows and old quizzes and stuff,
Yes.
and YouTube, obviously, sort of thing. It's you sort of come into the fore and people say, "Hey, is that so and so who lives around the corner? What's she doing on that?" Oh, she was on that, and the people say they didn't realise who you were. Perhaps they're just not looking at your hands. That's what it is.
Right. But it's not funny, but one thing could have been conflict. There was one thing that had aired. And it was actually the same day as another show I was on. So sometimes things can air on the same day, and so that can be kind of funny too, is when people are like, I just saw her. And so I think because I've been on so many, it's definitely different. It's different. It's unusual. And that's I think people kind of find that fun to hear that how that happened.
You must get asked, by people, can you give me sort of a hint or help or anything like that? And it's the same I get here with authors, and stuff like that. And I say, they ask about, I said, have faith in yourself, reach for those stars. And I guess it's the same in your line of work.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny you said stars on my license plate. My father, may rest in peace, would always say, go like a star, but not in a, if I want to say, conceited way. It was more like, just be yourself, be confident, and be your who you are. And on my license plate on my car, it actually says go for the, and there's a star. With the show, it's interesting you said how sometimes people ask me, about this. I actually have a chapter in it called A to Z. There's like a checklist on making it happen, and each letter has something fun but hopefully instrumental on you becoming that contestant. I remember auditioning for something once, and the girl was listening to me, I think. She saw how I was talking to the casting person, I think telling them how I was telling about my life, and they want to see a real person. They don't want to see if you're an actor or not. That's fine, but they want to see who you are, what makes you tick, your hobbies, but yourself, your energy, and that's going to translate not just to casting but to the viewers who watch it. So when the people ask, like, how do you do it? Can you give me any pointers? It's certain checklist, but also just bringing you to the table, because everybody hopefully has their best you that makes them stand out uniquely, you know?
Yeah, I find that I get some people who, you know, relating to sort of the authors and stuff like that, that I get people who, well, there was a lady I knew, she'd written quite a good, you know, in an author's group we were in, she'd written quite a good book, and, you know, we'd read it through and stuff like that, and it's pretty good. Anyway, she went to a seminar, and there was some famous author, and he made a, you know, he did a talk about, oh, when you do it, you have to be in this sense and this tense and this bright, you know, this sort of this and this. And she thought, oh, I've done it wrong. I need to go home. She went home and rewrote it. And then about 6 months down the line, she went to another one and somebody else told her something different. And to be quite honest, after a year, there wasn't much of her left in the book. You know,
thank you. Oh, my God. Yes. We're so similar. I just met you on the phone. Yes, I totally agree with that. It's okay to take a little bit from everything and give it something that rings true to you, but you have to, more like 70-80%, it has to be you. Like that song, it has to be you. It has to be, because that's the, you know, the same secret. It's not a secret, but the people who are not like aware of it yet, it's got to be you. That's the thing.
my YA book, I had somebody ask me a question at a talk I was giving, and I said, is there any of you in this book? I said, of course there is. I wrote it. What do you think? Are you serious?
Yeah. No. Thank you, Barry. You know, you just brought something to mind. When I started this, you know, there was a difference between being mindful about what you're saying and then just being your authentic self. And the exciting part is, I think, because I've written before, but this is the first time I've ever written a book and I felt more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I just told myself, I allow myself to let it come out and be who I am. And I think the nicest things people have said, and I've gotten some lovely reviews, and it's all good, whatever happens, because, you know, I did this in my life, you know, but they felt, and it really touches me now, that they felt like they were on the journey with me.
Yeah.
Because a big part of my life is also, and again, I'm not far from perfect, but is being kind.
Yeah.
And you have to bring hopefully your best self to the table, you know, but also kindness, and mix it up. And so the people who felt like they were brought or made them happy reading it, or they felt like they were behind the scenes, or they felt like, oh, she did this with her, you know, she spoke about this in her life. I try to be as real as possible, but being mindful as well.
Indeed. Well, the next contestant is out and doing very well from what I see. Now, have you got another one in the pipeline? Yeah, perhaps. Something like the hands of the star or something like that.
Well, I mean, you said, it's funny you said that, because one of my most famous things with that, when I moved here, and it actually became a GIF, and it was on someone's phone one day. It was from the movie Fight Club. Have you ever seen Fight Club?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so anyways, long story short, it was at the end, and I don't want to give any spoilers. It's been a few years. The buildings are imploding, and the actor is holding the actress's hand as the buildings imploding in front of him, and I'm Helena Bonham Carter's hand, and I'm trying to do a romantic hand, you know, hand holding thing, and somebody had it on their phone. And I said, oh, you know what? That's my hand.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so I got this.
That's me.
That's me. But it was just really funny because, you know, things are out there forever. They'll spot you on something anyway. That's my hand story.
Well, it's been great chatting to you. Really has, Pamela. But what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and your book and your company and everything else. So over to you.
Thank you so much, Barry. It's been such a pleasure. Hi, everybody. My website is PamelaHill.net. which will give you more of my life and resources and where to find my projects. And my book, The Next Contestant Is ... is on Amazon. It's in paperback and Kindle. And I recently recorded the audiobook, and now it just went live last week. And that was fun to narrate, because I love to narrate. So thank you.
Right. Well, it's been a true pleasure, Pamela, having you on the show. Good luck with the book, and perhaps when the next one comes out, which I'm sure you'll get round to one day, you can come back on the show and chat to us again.
Well, thank you, Barry. Great talking to you. All the best to you, and it was such a fun conversation. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, how about that? Pamela Hill. Really interesting lady. You should check her website out. PamelaHill.net. pamelahill.net, pamelahill.net. I was, and there's all sorts of stuff there about her book, and you know, even pictures of her hands and stuff like that, as we kept saying. But yes, good stuff. Check it out. Check it out. Well, that's it for the chat shows this week. I'll be back on Sunday as normal from 5 to 6 with Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme this week, obviously, this time of year, Halloween. So we'll have a lot of ghostly type music on that. And of course, straight after that, between 6 and 7, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s. And then next Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll be back with a couple of fresh guests. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...